We're continuing chapter 20 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. And Hagrid was just continuing his tale. Me and Olympe talked it over, and we agreed. Just because the Gurg looked like favoring you-know-who didn't mean all of them would. We had to try and persuade some of the others, ones who hadn't wanted Gugmath as Gurg.
How could you tell which ones they were? Asked Ron.
Well, they were the ones being beaten to a pulp, weren't they? Said Hagrid patiently. The ones with any sense were keeping out of Gugmath's way, hiding out in caves, around the gully, just like we were. So we decided we'd go poking around the caves by night, see if we couldn't persuade a few of them.
You went around poking around dark caves looking for giants? Said Ron with awed respect in his voice.
Well, it wasn't the giants who worried us most, said Hagrid. We were more concerned about the Death Eaters. Dumbledore told us we were not to tangle with them if we could avoid it. And the trouble was, they knew we was around. Spec Gugmath told them about us. At night, when the giants were sleeping, we wanted to be creeping around the caves. McNair and the other one were sneaking around the mountains looking for us.
I was hard put to stop Olympe jumping out at them, said Hagrid, the corner of his mouth lifting his wild beard.
She was raring to attack him. She said, she's something when she's roused, Olympe. Fire, you know.
Olymp.
What's that?
I think that he calls her Olymp.
Really? Wouldn't it be more French to say Olympe?
Yeah, but he's a dwarf.
Oh, okay. Should I say Olymp?
Yeah.
Olymp. Fire, you know. Suspect it's the French in her. Hagrid gazed, misty-eyed, into the fire. Harry, a lot. You know, I'm still trying to imagine how these half-giants are created. If the giants are, like, 25 feet tall...
Let's just keep
going. What is the physical process?
Harry allowed him 30 seconds reminiscence before clearing his throat loudly.
So what happened? Did you ever get near any of the other giants?
What? Said Hagrid. Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, on the third night after Karkos was killed, we crept out of the cave we'd been hiding in and headed back into the gully, keeping our eyes skinned for the Death Eaters. Got inside a few of the caves, no go, and then... About the sixth one, we found three giants hiding.
The cave must have been cramped, said Ron.
Wasn't room to swing a needle, said Hagrid.
Didn't they attack you when they saw you? Asked Hermione.
Probably would have done if they'd been in any condition, said Hagrid. They was badly hurt, all three of them.
Gilgamesh's lot had beaten them unconscious. They woke up and crawled into the nearest shelter they could find. Anyway, one of them had a bit of English and translated for the others. What we'd had to say didn't seem to go down too badly.
So we kept going back, visiting the wounded. I reckon we had about six or seven of them convinced at one point.
Six or seven, said Ron eagerly.
Well, that's not bad. Are they going to come over here and start fighting you-know-who with us?
But Hermione said, what do you mean at one point, Hagrid?
And Hagrid looked at her sadly.
Gilgamesh raided the caves. The ones that survived didn't want no more to do with us after that.
So there aren't any giants coming? Said Ron, looking disappointed.
Nope, said Hagrid, heaving a deep sigh as he turned over his steak again and applied the cooler side to his face.
We did what we meant to do. We gave him Dumbledore's message and some of them heard it. And I expect some of them will remember it. Just maybe. Maybe they don't want to stay around Gugmeth and they'll move out of the mountains. And there's got to be a chance they'll remember Dumbledore's friendly to him. Could be they'll come.
Snow was filling the window now.
Harry became aware that the knees of his robes were soaked through.
Fang was drooling with his head in Harry's lap.
Hagrid, said Hermione quietly after a while.
Hmm?
Did you hear anything about your mother while you were there?
Hagrid's unobscured eye rested on her, and Hermione looked rather scared.
I'm sorry. I forget it.
Dead, Hagrid grunted. Died years ago, they told me.
Oh, I'm really sorry, said Hermione in a very small voice.
Hagrid shrugged his massive shoulders.
No need, he said shortly. Can't remember her much. Wasn't a great mother.
They were silent again. Hermione glanced nervously at Harry and Ron, plainly wanting them to speak.
"We still haven't explained how you got in this state, Hagrid," Ron said, gesturing toward Hagrid's blood-stained face.
"Or why you're so late," said Harry,
Sirius said Madame Maxine got back ages ago. Who attacked you? Said Ron. I haven't been attacked, said Hagrid emphatically. But the rest of his words were drowned in a sudden outbreak of tapping at the door. Hermione gasped, her mug slipped through her fingers and smashed on the floor, and Fang yelped. All four of them stared at the window beside the doorway. The shadow of somebody small and squat rippled in the thin curtain. It's her, Ron whispered. Get under here, Harry said quickly, seizing the invisibility cloak and whirled it over himself and Hermione, while Ron tore under the table and dived behind the cloak as well. Huddled together, they backed towards the door into a corner. Fang was barking madly at the door, and Hagrid looked thoroughly confused. Hagrid, hide our mugs! Hagrid seized Harry's and Ron's mugs and shoved them under the cushion in Fang's basket. Fang was now leaping at the door. Hagrid pushed him out of the way with his foot and pulled it open. Professor Umbridge was standing in the doorway wearing her green tweed cloak and a matching hat with ear flaps. Lips pursed, she leaned back so as to see Hagrid's face. She barely reached his navel. So, she said loudly and slowly, as though speaking to somebody deaf, you're Hagrid, aren't you? Without waiting for an answer, she strolled into the room, her bulging eyes rolling in every direction. Get away, she snapped, waving her handbag at Fang, who had bounded up to her and was attempting to lick her face. I don't want to be rude, Hagrid said, staring at her, but who the ruddy hell are you? My name is Dolores Umbridge. Her eyes were sweeping the cabin. Twice they stared directly into the corner where Harry stood, sandwiched between Ron and Hermione. Dolores Umbridge, Hagrid said, sounding thoroughly confused. I thought you were one of the Ministry. Don't you work with Fudge? I was senior undersecretary to the Ministry, yes, said Umbridge, now pacing around the cabin, taking in every tiny detail within, from the haversack... excuse me. From the haversack against the wall to the abandoned traveling cloak. I am now the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher. That's brave of you, said Hagrid. There's not many that would take that job anymore. And Hogwarts High Inquisitor, said Umbridge, giving no sign that she had heard him. What's that? Said Hagrid, frowning. Precisely what I was going to ask, said Umbridge, pointing at the broken shards of china on the floor that had been Hermione's mug. Oh, said Hagrid, with a most unhelpful glance toward the corner where Harry, Ron, and Hermione stood hidden. Well, that was Fang. He broke a mug. Tried to use this one instead. Hagrid pointed to the mug from which he had been drinking. One hand still clamped over the dragon's stake pressed to his eye. Umbridge stood facing him, taking in every detail of his appearance instead of the cabin's. I heard voices, she said quietly. I was talking to Fang, Hagrid said stoutly. And he was talking back to you? Well, in a manner of speaking, said Hagrid, looking uncomfortable. I sometimes say Fang's near enough human. There's three sets of footprints in the snow, leading from the castle doors to your cabin, said Umbridge sleekly. Hermione gasped. Harry clapped a hand over her mouth. Luckily, Fang was sniffing loudly around the hem of Professor Umbridge's robes, and she didn't appear to have heard. Well, only just got back, said Hagrid, waving an enormous hand at the haversack. Maybe someone came to call earlier and I missed him. There are no footsteps leading away from your cabin door. Well, I don't know what that would be, said Hagrid, tugging nervously at his beard, and again glancing toward the corner where Harry, Ron, and Hermione stood as though asking for help. Umbridge wheeled around and strode the length of the cabin, looking around carefully. She bent and peered under the bed. She opened Hagrid's cupboards. She passed within 2 inches of where Harry, Ron, and Hermione stood pressed against the wall. Harry actually pulled in his stomach as she walked by. After looking carefully inside the enormous cauldron Hagrid had used for cooking, she wheeled around and said, "What has happened to you? How did you sustain those injuries?" Hagrid hastily removed the dragon's stake from his face, which in Harry's opinion was a mistake because the black and purple bruising all around his eye was now clearly visible, not to mention the large amount of fresh and congealed blood on his face. Oh, I had a bit of an accident, he said lamely. What sort of accident? I tripped.
You tripped? She repeated coolly.
Yeah, that's right. Over a friend's broomstick. I don't fly myself. Look at the size of me. I don't reckon there's a broomstick that would hold me. A friend of mine breeds Axebon horses. Don't know if you've seen one big beast's winged, you know? I've had a bit of a ride on one of them, and it was... Where have you been? Asked Umbridge, cutting coolly through Hagrid's babbling. Where have I... Been, yes, she said. Term started more than 2 months ago. Another teacher has had to cover your classes. None of your colleagues have been able to give me any information as to your whereabouts. You have no address. Where have you been? There was a pause in which Hagrid stared at her with his newly uncovered eye. Harry could almost hear his brain working furiously. I've been away from your health, he said. For your health, said Umbridge. Her eyes traveled over Hagrid's discolored and swollen face. Dragon blood dripped gently onto his waistcoat in the silence. I see. Yeah, said Hagrid. Bit of fresh air. You know. Yes, as gamekeeper, fresh air must be so difficult to come by, said Umbridge sweetly. The small patch of Hagrid's face, that was not black or purple, flushed. Well, change of scene, you know. Mountain scenery, said Umbridge swiftly. She knows, Harry thought desperately. Mountains, Hagrid repeated, thinking fast. Nope, South of France for me, bit of sun and sea. Really, said Umbridge, you don't have much of a tan. Yeah, well, sensitive skin, said Hagrid, attempting an ingratiating smile. Harry noticed that two of his teeth had been knocked out. Umbridge looked at him coldly. His smile faltered. Then she hoisted her handbag a little higher on the crook of her arm and said, I shall, of course, be informing the minister of your late return. Right, said Hagrid, nodding. You ought to know that as High Inquisitor is my unfortunate but necessary duty to inspect my fellow teachers. So I dare say we shall meet soon enough. She turned sharply and marched back to the door. You're inspecting us? Hagrid said blankly, looking after her. Oh, yes, said Umbridge softly, looking back at him with her hand on the door handle. The ministry is determined to weed out unsatisfactory teachers, Hagrid. Good night. She left, closing the door behind her with a snap. Harry made to pull off the invisibility cloak, but Hermione seized his wrist. Not yet, she breathed into his ear. She might not be gone yet. Hagrid seemed to be thinking the same way. He stumped across the room and pulled back the curtain an inch or so. She's going back to the castle, he said in a low voice. Why, I mean, inspecting people, is she? Yeah, said Harry, pulling the cloak off. Trelawney's on probation already. What sort of thing were you planning to do with us in class, Hagrid asked Hermione. Oh, don't you worry about that. I got a great load of lessons planned, said Hagrid enthusiastically, scooping up his dragon steak from the table and slapping on his eye again. I've been keeping a couple of creatures saved for your owl year. You wait, there's something really special. Special in what way? Hermione asked tentatively. I'm not saying, said Hagrid happily. I don't want to spoil the surprise. Look, Hagrid, said Hermione urgently, dropping all pretense. Professor Umbridge won't be happy at all if you bring anything to class that's too dangerous. Dangerous, said Hagrid, looking genially bemused. Don't be silly. I won't give you anything dangerous. I mean, all right, they can look after themselves. Hagrid, you've got to pass Umbridge's inspection. To do that, it would really be better if she saw you teaching us how to look after Porlocks, or to tell the difference between gnarls and hedgehogs, stuff like that, said Hermione earnestly. But that's not very interesting, Hermione, said Hagrid. Stuff I got is much more impressive. I've been bringing them on for years. I reckon they're the only domestic herd in Britain. Hagrid, please, said Hermione, a note of real desperation in her voice. Umbridge is looking for any excuse to get rid of teachers she thinks are too close to Dumbledore. Please, Hagrid, teach us something dull that's bound to come up in our owl. But Hagrid merely yawned widely and cast a one-eyed look of longing toward the vast bed in the corner. Listen, it's been a long day and it's late, he said, patting Hermione gently on the shoulder, so that her knees gave way and hit the floor with a thud. Oh, sorry. He pulled her back up by the neck of her robes. Look, you don't go on worrying about me. I promise you have got some really good stuff planned for your lessons now that I'm back. Now, You lot had better get it back up to the castle. Don't forget to wipe your feet, your footprints out behind you. I don't know if you got through to him, said Ron a short while later, when, having checked that the coast was clear, they walked back to the castle, through the thickening snow, leaving no trace behind them, due to the obliteration charm Hermione was performing as they went. Then I'll go back to him tomorrow again, Hermione said determinedly. I'll plan lessons for him if I have to. I don't care if she throws out Trelawney, but she's not taking Hagrid. And that's the end of chapter 20. Next story, chapter 21, called The Eye of the Snake. Hope you like that, kitty boo. I love you so much, baby girl. Sleepwalking.